What an interesting time to be alive and trying to just look at everything that's happening all over in different facets of life. It's pretty incredible. You never thought it would come to a time like this, that we have so many things going on at the same time. There's a lot of instability all over in different countries. All over, there's just instability, uncertainty, questions. It's never been a more perfect setting and time for somebody to come and take over and make some sense of everything. Well, the believer, the Christian that's really serving God the way God prescribes in the Scripture, we should be excited about this time. We shouldn't be fearful of the uncertainty, the instability. He said that's how it would be. It'd be that. I just want to tell you that's going to get not better, but rather it may grow worse. And these are the things that he tells us about for us to be prepared. And so I want you to take into consideration the lessons that we've been having, the Torah portion. It's incredible. There's so many wonderful things and facets to Scripture that God's put in place to give us answers. So we're not going around without information, because that'll create fear. We'll be fearful. The church can't be fearful. We're supposed to be the light and salt. You are the light of the world. So we have to make sure that we're doing what we're supposed to do. And the only way to maintain that is to study the Scripture, to keep studying the Scripture, and be willing to make adjustments if you have to. We're not going to get it the first round. We have to go back over it again, keep studying it. We may misspeak it, misrepresent it. There may be a variety of things we do. But we got to be willing to at least admit that and go to God and say, God, help us to see it the way you want us to see it. I've come to the conclusion people are afraid. They admit they've been wrong. That's okay. Listen, anything you ever started in life, when the first time you went and done it, you didn't do it just right. And you improved on every time you went. When you ought to be very worried is when you don't improve. There's no attitude to even think you must improve. We should always be striving to better ourselves in our relationship with the Lord. We should be trying to do better. And the way you do that is you learn. He says, in all your getting, get understanding. Didn't he say that? In all your getting, if you're going to be getting something, get understanding, because that's important. Seek wisdom more than anything. Seek the word of God, the instructions of the Lord. Very important. I can tell you, the Scripture speaks of wisdom almost as incarnate, because it goes into calling wisdom what? She. That's not no accident. That's for us to get it seriously, think about it. He wants to get so close to us, it's like she steps right next to you and it comes personified, as it were. Think about that. So, listen, he wrote it that way, and it's for a reason. If it's wrote that way, and it's almost personified, think about it. When he goes off on that she, he's creating something that you can get a visual of. Somebody who'll take care of you, who will attend to you, who will instruct you, who will lead you, who will guide you, keep you from this, keep you from that. But you got to listen to wisdom. And so that's one of the wonderful characters of God, that we get a chance to spend time and participate and harmonize our lives with through the scripture, especially in the Proverbs. When we look at that, it's incredible. At any time, you want to do Proverbs, you take a month. You can start in April. Say April's coming, okay? The first day of April, listen to Psalms 1. Second day, Psalms 2. Proverbs 1, Proverbs 2, Proverbs 3. Just add them to the day, that day. Take your time, you pour your coffee, you sit down. It's going to take you 5 minutes. Read the first chapter. Another 5 minutes the next day. You got to make those type of commitments. They're important to you. Very important to you. I remember one time I said, Lord, I got to get this. I want to absorb it. I want to be all in the Proverbs. I got to get it as much as I can. The Lord really impressed in my heart. So I did the entirety of Proverbs every day for an entire month. I went through the entire chapter. I made a commitment. I'm going to do the whole book, every day for the whole month. And I said, Lord, I don't know what it's for, but you want me to have something out of it. And I tell you, it makes a difference. It makes a difference. And I've seen that time to time, and I don't know how many times we've been over it, but there's time to time that'll happen. Where the Lord will impress upon you to take a certain section of Scripture. That way you can get it. You can inundate yourself with it so it becomes real. Now, we've been in this series on Sunday morning on the kingdom. And I've been thinking about that. A lot of different questions arise, opportunities to witness and speak to people on this particular subject. And it is, I don't know why I'm surprised, but I am surprised a lot of times how there's not a lot of information known by people concerning the kingdom of God. And that's not good. It's not good. This is the principal words of our Messiah. We ought to know the principal words of our Messiah with everything that's in us. We ought to know those things. So I may touch a little bit on this, but a few things I would like to do. This is a Bible study. This is what we call it, Thursday night Bible study. This is a time to interact, time to interject. If you want, you don't have to wait for me to say, do you have a question? I might be making a point, and you say, well, just let me know that you want to chime in, and do that. So we want to have more interaction. I also said I'd like to make sure we do some interaction during the tour portions of the same thing. This is not you come, you sit. We speak and you listen. You can do that on Sunday. But this is a time to Bible study. You got a question. Maybe you've been thinking about something all week. And you say, man, I want to ask that question. Make sure you write that down and then do that. You ask that question. There's nothing that, if it comes to you, it's important to you. We want to try to look at it and see what we can come up with. We may not be able to answer it at the time, but we can sure look at it. And we can ask the Lord to give us instruction or understanding in that particular area. So I want to do that tonight. I'm going to read a few of these verses to you. And we're going to look at some of these verses pertaining to the kingdom of God and how important that is. I'll tell you what I'll do first, probably. Well, I'll get there. I'll get there in some of these verses here that we're going to read. Because these few verses is going to bring us to just all kinds of information in these few verses. Let's look at the first one, okay? And again, if you have something, just it's a question, whatever it is, at any time. You don't have to wait till the end or whatever. At any time, just ask. Matthew chapter 5, verse 5. Jesus is speaking his Sermon on the Mount. And he says this. Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. Well, I can remember a time that I didn't really understand that verse. I was young, just a teenager in church, and I remember, and I was like, what in the world would you want to inherit the earth for if we're not going to be here? It ain't much of an inheritance. I used to ask myself that when I was young. I was like, but, you know, I had other things on my mind, so I just, you blow it off and you keep going. Busy yourself. But I remember several times that would come to me. I'd hear somebody would be preaching or reading it, and I would go, you know, that's a strange verse. I never understood that verse. Blessed are the gentle. The King James says the meek. Uses the word meek. Blessed are the meek. For they shall inherit the earth. Think about that. Now, remember, the promise to Abraham was what kind of inheritance? It was a land inheritance. That was the promise to Abraham. A land inheritance that his children would inhabit that land. Live on that land. Now, that hadn't happened. And Abraham's old enough and he dies not receiving the promise. So we have to ask ourselves, if God told him he would inherit the land, and people try to spiritualize it, and they'll say, well, maybe God was talking about heaven. He was going to inherit heaven or something to that effect, because Abraham's used in one of the parables as the bosom of Abraham or paradise, as a reference made. And that's a whole teaching all its own to deal with that, because that's one of the things that comes up, especially dealing with the subject we brought up on Sunday. And I probably, we could take some time just tonight just to hit that whole thing, but I really need to do that where everybody understands this whole question about the immortality and the conditional. That's a word that you want to use when you use an immortality. It's called conditional immortality, because there is a condition of what has to happen. Now, some would say it's innately just overall an equal possession by all human beings. But I believe that there's a condition to that in order to obtain that, because it's obtained. But there's two schools of thought there, and I thought maybe we'd do something along those lines, but we'll save that and do maybe just to keep it on the same subject of the kingdom, but do one whole service just talking about that, bringing all those verses out. And that would be, what a challenge that would be to come out with all those verses. So think about this. Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. How many want to inherit the earth? Well, you know, there's a group that opens up their testimony when they knock on your door. That's one of the questions they ask you. You want to inherit the earth? Well, our answer years ago was, well, no. Well, I'm going to do it that for. I'm going to heaven. You can stay here. You can have it. This broken, run down, abused earth, you can have it. God's making me a place. He said, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. How many's heard that? This is the Lord now. This is Jesus is making a statement, talking to his disciples. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. Why did Jesus say that? Because this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you sent. So let's go back to that. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. See that? Both of them exactly the same. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms, or many mansions. I mean, he's ever heard them, that set of scriptures. If it were not so, I would tell you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, that's what he said. If I go and prepare a place for you, Jesus said, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That's the King James Version. What he said. How many believe what he says? I believe what he says. Everything Jesus ever said that I've read, everything he's ever said he was going to do, he done, and everything that still has to happen through prophecy, I believe he's going to do. Everything. So that's not a difficult passage to bring into flow with the scripture. Very easy. Very easy. Because the key is where I am. How many want to be where he is? Well, of course, I don't know if heaven's going to be all that if we're not going to be where he is. Right? I won't be where he is. Where is he going to be? Well, he's going to be on the throne of David. That's what he said. I'm going to sit on the throne of David and I'm going to establish a kingdom. And that kingdom won't end. There's a reason it won't end. The devil won't like it. Everybody's going to be against it, but that's okay. And the reason it won't end, when everybody turns their weapons against him, the Lord himself will come. We'll see if we can get to that in some of these verses. So now, Matthew 5:5, blessed are the gentle, they shall inherit the earth. There's going to be a land inheritance. The land is not land in heaven. I mean, understand that. The land is land here on this earth that we're living on. That's the inheritance. And Abraham will inherit the land. When he raises from the dead, he's going to inherit the land. Because how many know we got to rejoice? He said, when you see Abraham in the kingdom, you get happy. That's happy time. Ain't no time to be sad. Okay? Now, Revelations 5:10 says, you have made them to be a kingdom and priest to our God. You have made them to be a kingdom and priest to our God. And now watch this. And they will reign upon the earth. Where are we going to reign? We're going to reign upon the earth. I mean, you know, we're not reigning yet. If you hadn't figured that out, I know that it can't be hard to figure out. You can't go in none of these groups and tell them, sit down and shut up. Because if you could, you would. Because some of them need to sit down and shut up, right? They coming up with some crazy stuff. They playing with, let me just tell you this. What's happening right now is some serious business that most people don't even catch on to. This whole Russian interaction that's going on. This Korea and China interaction that's going on, the moving of heavy equipment all over, strategically positioning this movement of material all over. We're bringing mass amount of equipment and positioning ourselves in the Middle East. Massive amounts of hardware, military hardware. There's a big deal going on with North Korea. And let me tell you, this is a serious thing. It's very serious. It's time for us to really pay attention to where we are in God and keep ourselves. Because the delusion and the deception is going to be, it's going to parallel everything that's happening in the world. It's going to go just like that. And so the delusion won't get better. It's going to get worse when everything breaks out. That's why you got to have insight from Scripture and be following the Lord. So Don't think this is escape. We escape. The ones who think they're going to escape and not going to have to deal with any of this is going to be the ones who will be most unprepared. Because they won't have to do anything. Don't prepare what you're preparing for. We escape. That is not what the text is telling us. Look at this. 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 12. It says, if we endure, we will also reign with him. When I say reign with him, who's the him? Yeshua HaMashiach. He's going to reign. Let me tell you. There won't be all the governments and all the kingdoms are going to be overthrown. And then Yeshua's going to come in and he's just going to reign. And it's not how it's going to be. They're going to be governments established. There's going to be a one world order established. There's going to be a great food bank supplying all the hungry people in the world. There's going to be peace, 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 so much peace, so much peace. And then the abomination of desolation desecrates the temple. And on the 3.5 year period, that's it. God's had enough. And the return of Christ comes. When you see abomination of desolation, that's what he said, I'm coming. When you see abomination of desolation, then he tells us when that is. After the tribulation. So there's going to be a time of tribulation like we've never seen. Then an answer to it. An answer to all that trouble. People's going to say, oh, he's here. He's here. Messiah's here. Our Messiah. Our Mashiach's here. Look at him. It's our Mashiach. The wrong one. They're going to follow him. He's got all the answers. He's our Savior. He's fixed everything for us. But that's why he goes to great detail. Don't follow him. Well, you're going to see these things. You'll know. But that's why it's going to be an antichrist. A copy of it. We have to be careful. That's why we have to follow the scripture. Look at what it says. So he says, if we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, if we deny Yeshua, he will also deny us. If we deny Yeshua, he's going to deny us. We don't want to deny him. We want to look carefully at what he's doing. Now, Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2, verse 26. He who overcomes. What you going to overcome? Folks say, well, I'm just trying to overcome. You ain't been nothing to overcome yet. Folk, you know what the biggest struggle folks having? Whether if they want to obey or disobey. That's the struggle now. We're not talking about overcoming nothing. The struggle with people is whether I want to follow to be obedient or disobedient. If you're obedient, we have the whole list of stuff that comes with being obedient. If you're disobedient, you have the whole list of stuff that comes with being disobedient. When people are disobedient, they get in the stuff that comes with it. They think, I'm in a tribulation. No, you're in disobedience. There's a big difference. Let me tell you, I promise you, you're going to know the difference when tribulation hits or what you've been going through because of being disobedient. You're going to know a big difference. Because if it's tribulation, why the other person sitting on the same pew hearing the same message is not going through that? You understand? The only protection we'll have in a tribulation is whatever the plagues that he decides to protect us in. And let me just put it to you this way. He didn't protect the children of Israel from every plague in Exodus. That protection came after a couple. Time. They didn't have certain plagues hit them. We're going to have protection. There's nothing to fear. Don't be afraid of going through tribulation. Knowing this. What does it do? We have to be patient in it. We have to make sure that we allow the Lord to minister to our lives in that time. It's very important. I mean, you know, it's important that we do what God wants us to do. Go to James. The book of James. James here in chapter 1 of the book of James. Look at verse number 1. It says, James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ to the 12 tribes who are dispersed abroad, greetings. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. I mean, you know, we got various trials that we're going to go through. They were going through various trials. There's a difference between when the tribulation time comes and various trials. Notice that. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Right? And what we said in that previous verse just now, what do we got to do? Endure. We got to endure. But endurance is something that's produced. What produces endurance? A testing. Trials. You're tested, and you're gonna get stronger. You're gonna find yourself enduring, having its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. So he wants us to consider it all joy, brother, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. And if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all generously without reproach, and it will be given to him. So there's, listen, there's source for us. We have resources to get through anything we have going on today. Listen, I always say that a person wants to be strong in the Lord, they can be. It's not that we don't have the resource to be strong. How many has ever seen this? Go to a whole week and don't feed yourself. You're going to feel it. I don't care who you are, what if you've been dieting before, you done. I'm telling you, go the whole week and don't feed yourself. You're going to feel it. You're going to know you didn't feed yourself. Your body's going to, some of you, listen, if you're high in carbohydrates and sugar, you're going to have headaches, bad headaches. Because your body's going to start craving that sugar, and it's not being given to you. You're going to feel it. And all of a sudden, you're going to start having hunger pains, real hunger pains. You know, we say we're hungry, like, boy, I'm hungry. I ain't ate since, you know, like 10, and it's 12. That's not hunger. That's how we just used to eat, and we eat by habit. But you're going to actually have, like, hunger come on you. You know, it's going to be different. And let me tell you, when you get to about the seventh day, you don't care what's flopped down in front of you. You ain't even checking a date. You're going to eat it because you're hungry. Well, what do you think happens if you spend a whole week and you don't eat the bread of life? You're going to feel it. It's just what it is. You're going to feel it. If you don't eat the bread of life all week, you're going to feel it. So, listen, let's not kid ourselves. This is just simple stuff. We can teach the nursery. This stuff is so easy. We can teach them this. And they would agree. They know this stuff. Yet, people's wondering, well, I don't know why I'm going through what I'm going through. You hadn't had the bread of life in 2 weeks. Yeah, you're going to be feeling the way you're feeling. Listen, I've seen people miss two meals and get snappy. You miss a whole week, you get real snappy. You ever wonder why folks are so snappy with each other in our spiritual walk? You're not eating the bread of life. If you were in harmony with Scripture, in harmony with brothers and sisters, you know what happens? The snappiness goes away on its own, because it ain't got no place to find its resting place in you. That's all we have to do. So, I read that to you to show you. You're going to go through stuff. It's a process on growing in God. And if you want wisdom, ask. He gives to everybody. And King James says, he giveth to all men liberally and upbraid. The word upbraid is without reproach. He's not going to scold you because you're asking for something that's going to help you. Some people say, well, I don't want to ask. Don't be tough. Don't say, I've been in church a long time. Look, I've been in church. Listen, I've been pastoring a long time, studying this word of God for over 30 years. You know what I do? I ask the Lord. I go to him. I say, God, I don't understand some of this stuff. This stuff's actually confusing me. I need your help. I need your guidance. I need you to instruct me. I don't want to go into something that's going to bring confusion in my life. I need your protection. That's what I ask him. I'm not going to just do it without asking him. At the moment I sense that any beginning of confusion tries to come, I go to the Lord and say, God, what you want me to do? You want me to push through this? Because this don't make sense to me. This is not adding up. And I've seen God time and time again bring it to my attention the way it should be. He who overcomes and he who keeps my deeds until the end, to him I will give authority over what? The nations. Show me where the nations are going to be in heaven. Nations. I give you authority over the nations. Think about that. So I know a lot of times it's hard to, we're trying to get this picture in our head. Well, what is it going to be like? But it's, I'm just reading to you what it says. There's a reason a kingdom gets set up. The true kingdom gets set up not because there's not other kingdoms. There'll be other kingdoms and other kings trying to still operate, just like it is now. How many know we have a president of the United States. That's what we have. And then they have prime minister of parliament in the British. Then they have the queen. And then the other countries have their representative. their person that's in charge. Everybody's got somebody that's in, they're in charge, the king. And Nepal is a king. He's the king. We've seen his the king's place. When we passed right by, when he was in Nepal, he was the king, and he ruled like a king, like you see on the movies. You know that the king gets all the money. He gets everything. And then he distributes it out to the peasants what he wants to distribute. He can have a good relationship with the peasants or a bad relationship. That's just up to him. He could be a good king or a bad king. In Nepal's instance, they didn't like their king. They thought their king was bad. He kept wouldn't build their roads back, yet taxed them. Wouldn't give them power, yet taxed them. Well, they decided to have a coup. How many know what a coup is? They got together and started a private army. And the army grew. The army got bigger. And they called it the Maoist group. They coined the term out of China, the Maoists out of China. And they had red bandanas. That's how they were told. When they'd go into combat, they all had a red bandana, either around their waist, around their neck, around their head. And then they figured out that the enemy was shooting everybody with red bandanas on. I mean, picking them off, riding on a motorbike, pow. This is true, all true. I got a book in the office reading about the whole combat. But then they decide, you know what? We're going to go more guerrilla warfare. We're going to be right among you. You won't even know who we are. Then we'll put our colors on after we take you. And that's what they started doing. They go right into town, go right to the gate of the barracks of the army, and go in and take it. Then they put their colors on, and they started doing that more and more. And the king goes, oh boy, these jokers are smart. They're smart. And he said, so he stepped down. So keep that in mind. They're going to be that type of stuff going on in the kingdom. So Revelation 3:21, he who overcomes, I will grant him to sit down with me on my throne as I have overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. So that's important. So where's the throne? How many thrones that we ever read of in the heavens that John saw? So he sees the throne and he says there's one sitting on that throne. Then he looks and he sees a lamb approach. Then he talks about he talks about 24 elders. He talks about 24 elders. Now, in our mind, we're thinking that's 24 elders sometime in the future. I submit to you that's 24 elders now that are creations. They're communicating. That's what he saw in vision. Well, I want to tell you that because Christ talks about something different. He said, I'll set up 12 thrones. And you'll sit on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. That's the difference in those two pictures. And so once we get on talking about that in Revelation, you'll see that comes really clear. Now, Revelation 5:10, you have made them to be a kingdom and priests to our God, and they will reign upon the earth. Notice that. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to our God, and they will reign upon the earth. Revelations 20, verse 1 through 6. Then I saw an angel come down from heaven, holding the key of the abyss, and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold of the dragon. Who's the dragon here? He laid hold of the dragon. The dragon spoke it, and he's going to tell us, the serpent of old. Who's the serpent of old? Satan, the serpent of old. Remember that? The serpent of old, who is the devil. So he kind of gives us, and Satan. So he's given us the description, the dragon, the serpent of old, the devil, Satan. And he bound him for how many years? 1,000 years. That's during the time of the reign here on earth when Christ is king. Satan will be bound in the abyss. I want you to keep that in mind. He's bound up in the abyss. That's something. A lot of times that's confusing to people because he's released after the 1,000 years. And you think in 1,000 years, I mean, it's going to be so wonderful. They're going to beat their weapons in the plowshares. They're going to be forming. It's going to be a community type effort of peace on earth. And there will be peace in Israel. In Israel, we know Scripture tells us there finally is going to be peace in Israel. It's going to be harmony. And a matter of fact, once a year, there'll be a pilgrimage there to do the feast. The feast will be done during the millennium. It'll be held. There's going to be communion. Isn't that something? Yes. There'll be communion during the 1,000 years with Christ because he said, I'll drink this again. Remember the Passover? In the kingdom. That's what he tells him. He says, I can't do it now, but I'm going to do it. So there'll be that whole celebration. It's going to be incredible. It's going to be fantastic that we're going to be participating in that. Now, I know it's a crazy thing because this devil was bound 1,000 years, but then after 1,000 years, he's released. And that messes with people. And that's some of the confusion because nobody wants to teach this. It gets kind of confusing. We say, just get the rapture here and forget about everything else. What other people, I don't know what they're going to do. What's going to happen? Hey, as long as I'm in heaven, everybody needs to fend for themselves. And we ain't got to deal with the 1,000 years. He gets out, blah, blah, blah. We don't got to deal with none of that. Well, the thing is he put it in here for us to know it. There's got to be a reason behind it. And what good is it to help the people that, so says, don't make it? What do they need this for? They're going to have the angel preaching the everlasting gospel. Like, that's going to be incredible. Can you imagine that? So, I think if we look at it the way we've been looking at it, we'll see that this thing, it just adds all together. In verse 3, he said, he threw him into the abyss, shut it up and sealed it over him, so that he, who's the he here? Satan, the dragon, the old serpent, what was the other one? The devil. He would not deceive the nations any longer. Because if the deceiver's loose, what does he do? He deceives. That's what he does. He's the deceiver. But he's going to be bound, so he will not deceive the nations any longer. How many notice that? Any longer. During this what? Until the 1,000 years were complete. After these things, what things? The 1,000 years is complete. He must be released for a short time. Man, let's just be done with it, right? He must be released for a short time. I ain't in the position to question God on that. I'm like, you know, he's already locked up. Come on. He gets released because Satan being bound is not the punishment that he is going to be dealt out. There's a time. He's going to have to wait. Just imagine this. You think maybe he might be the most miserable God, because he's called a god of this world. But he's taken off his position of authority, and Jesus takes his spot. And he's locked up, and he can't do a thing about it. So he's going to be walking to and fro, because we know Scripture tells us he goes to and fro, up and down. And this time he's going to be doing it in the abyss, in the earth. So does the earth have an abyss? According to Scripture, it does. Some people may even call it darkness or the shell, whatever, it, you know. But it's part of that. It's there. Is it connected, not connected? It could be Tartarus that's spoken of when it deals with where the fallen angels are. Could be there. But then he's released for a short time. That's the crazy part, right? It's so incredible. It's like, oh, I can't get no better. And here he comes. Verse 4. Then I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was given to them. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of their testimony of Jesus and because of the word of God, and those who had not worshiped the beast or his image. Now, in order for that to be the souls of the people who did not worship the beast, that had to be done before the 1,000 years started. Y'all here? It can't be after, because the beast is dead already. Listen. The souls of those who had been beheaded because of their testimony of Jesus and because of the word of God, and those who had not worshiped the beast or his image. They didn't do it. So there was a price to pay during that time. And listen, understand this. It's not a long time that this craziness is going to be going on. But it's going to be so much craziness, it's going to seem like forever. How many feel like the years just fly by now? If you was in craziness all the time, you would be, come on, finish year. We want it to finish. But that's how it's going to be. It's going to be like it's never going to end, but it's only going to be for a short time. And then the beast in his image, that's all destroyed at the appearing of Christ. When Christ comes and appears, they destroy it. But all those people who died, they're going to be rewarded during that time. And had not received the mark on their forehead. I mean, has ever heard that term? The mark on their forehead and on their hand. And they came to life. And they came to life and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. Now, you have to understand, and I went over this before, in this coming to life, they came to life. When did they come to life? At his coming. At his coming. They came to life. When did they worship, not worship the beast or his image? Before Christ came, during the what? Tribulation time. So then they done what? Came to life and reigned with Christ. I'm just showing you that there is no, don't get the, and this is where the confusion happens. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. You know, we go over that, and somehow we think, so he's going to make our mansion there, and that's where we're going. I hope that you just seen a cycle of Scripture. If we read them, continue reading the Scripture, you see that there's impossible to interpret that Scripture that way. Because Christ returns, right? And we're going to be with him wherever he is. Wherever Christ is, we're going to be with him. There are many rooms. If it were not so, would I tell you? I go to prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. I will come again. He's going to come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Here's the problem with that. This right here is where people go, well, that's the second coming. Okay, so if that's the second coming, then they call it the rapture. Because he said, I'm going to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Then we got to have the third coming. Can the Scripture support a third coming? Christ comes back. He comes the first time, born, dies, goes to the Father, comes the second time, raptures the church, goes back, and then comes a third time to set up the kingdom and have a 1,000-year reign. Because that's how we're going to have to structure the Scripture. We're going to have him come back. We're going to have him come back, not on the second advent, because we know it as second advent. First one is when he's born. Second advent is his return. There's their third, because there has to be a third if we're going to go, because we don't understand the way he speaks. That where I am, there you may be also. The assumption is where he's going to be is in heaven. Hence the rapture. Or to be caught up. We're caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Right? Thessalonians puts it that way. in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the trumpet will sound, the dead will raise. Then which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Right? And so the assumption is in the air. See? Why do you keep reading? So Scripture interprets Scripture. Okay, we keep that thought, and we keep reading. And we keep reading. So we get over here, and we read 4, and said, I saw thrones, and them that sat on them, with judgment was given. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of their testimony of Jesus and because of the word of God. And those who had not worshipped the beast or his image. Think about that. And had not received the mark on their foreheads or on their hands. And they came to life and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. So the interpretation is the church gets raptured. Then the people who didn't make it, they go through the tribulation. And the ones who do good and do right, they're the only ones that are going to reign with Christ for 1,000 years. We never leave from heaven. Who's buying it? Sounds reasonable. We go to heaven. This church, you know, and the people now. We go to heaven when Christ comes. Do you see the problem? When do we go? At his coming. Right? We don't read the entirety of Scripture. Can you see that if you're trying to make that fit, you start running into all sorts of, there's lots of obstacles you run into. Where you have some pre-snatching away. It just happens in the night. Nobody knows. Didn't you read? He comes like a thief in the night. Yeah, but I read the rest of it too. And he said the good man of the house knows when the thief's coming. And he waits up and waits. See, that's the rest of it. Oh, I thought you didn't know. No. He said, they won't know. The world won't know. The tare won't know. But the wheat. The good man in the house. He waits up. Because he knows that the thief's coming to break in. And he says, I'm waiting. What are you doing? I'm waiting. I'm not going to be caught unaware. So we keep reading. And before we know it, we have this puzzle. And we put all the pieces in place in this beautiful, beautiful picture of how the man Christ Jesus came, laid his life down. God raised him and set him far above all principalities, powers, might, and dominion, every name that's named, and put him at his own right hand. Gave him to be head over the church, which is his body. Then he tells us in Corinthians, he says, Christ the first fruit. Then you and I are going to be raised from the dead at his coming. At his coming. So, I'm going to read this again. And they came to life and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. He came to set the kingdom up for the 1,000-year millennium. Who raised? It says, and they came to life and reigned with Christ. So here's the way the structure from all the verses I read goes. There's no pre-trib rapture. Pre-trib rapture meaning before the tribulation starts, before abomination of desolation, secretly in the night, the church is snatched away and taken out. Okay? Now, for the church to be taken away, the dead in Christ and those which are alive and remain. That's the Thessalonian scripture. In a moment, a twinkling of an eye. How fast is a twinkling of an eye? That's fast. You know, there it is. We gone. You see? The dead's going to raise, the alive and remain are caught up to meet him in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Okay? We're saying that is the same event. Believe it with all that's in me. But it don't happen till 3.5 years in. When the abomination of desolation, there's a reason Christ comes back. Not just to raise the dead, but to set the order for the kingdom. He dethrones the false Christ. The Antichrist is the false Christ. He dethrones the false Christ and the prophet to the false Christ who's prophesying to the world, this is the man, this is the man. He's Mashiach. He can prophesy all he wants. And there'll be two witnesses. In the spirit of Elijah and Moses. Don't say Elijah and Moses. We don't have that in Scripture. The spirit of Elijah and the spirit of Moses. Who came in the spirit of Elijah the first time? John did. Was that Elijah? No, no. But he done so many things like Elijah. Some people called him Elijah. So who do people say that I am, Jesus said? Well, some say you're Isaiah. Some say you're Elijah. A great prophet. Because there was the spirit operating the way that they were so close to the Lord. So you think about two witnesses is going around during the Antichrist, that 3 and 9, and they're saying, he's wrong. He don't know what he's talking about. And they'll stand up again, I mean, face to face. And all of a sudden, they're going to be slain in the streets. CNN, going to beam their cameras. Fox News, beaming their cameras. There's your witnesses. Told y'all they weren't right. God, by his awesome power, they're going to raise up right on TV. And let me tell you, what comes next is going to be fantastic. Now, unfortunately, if you've died in Christ, you're not going to get to witness that event. You're still dead in Christ. But the alive people, they'll witness that. So if you're alive at that time, you're going to witness that. You're going to be watching. Glue your eyes, glued. Get ready. Girt your loins. Staff in your hand. Shoes on your feet. About to make this leap here. Right? Because Christ returns. And he dethrones the Antichrist. It's incredible. So what happens? We bring about the verse that I just read. Are there going to be people who paid the price? Listen. Yeah, if you resist the New World Order, you're probably going to get locked up. That's okay. Some folk want to die right now. Take me, Lord. Take me, Lord. I don't want to go to. That's fine. If you don't feel like you can make it through it, that's okay. Some people want to go. They want to be there. They want to fight the good fight of faith. Let's go. If that's what we got to do, the Lord knows. But he won't put no more on you than you're able to bear. And if you're going to go through it, he'll give you the strength to make it. It's not going to be something that you're going to get won over on because they got all the power. We're going to have authority and power by the word of God. That's why we ought to be going over to a portion. We ought to be going through Bible study. We ought to be going. Everything we can get, we got to get information. Because the more you eat the bread of life, the stronger you get. You know what people's going to do the first time they get their headache? They're going to say, put that mark right here. Give me that mark. I'm so tired. But those who are in the Word, they're going to be eating the Word of God. They're not going to be tired because they're going to know, I ain't falling for this scheme. I saw this coming a long time ago. I read about it. I ain't falling for it. Go on, do what y'all going to do. I'm waiting. My Mashiach's coming. Yes. And I'm waiting for him. And it ain't going to be long. You're not talking about a long period of time. It's just a short period of time. And you hold on with everything you got. Because when he comes, you'll be vindicated. I promise you will be vindicated. And that's the important thing. That's the exciting thing about the Lord. This is not something you're just doing. And he said, we'll reign with Christ for 1,000 years. How incredible is that? Verse 5, he said, the rest of the dead did not come to life until 1,000 years were complete. You know why? The rest of the dead are those who weren't in Christ. That's people you know. Some people you love. That's why we got to get the word out. Because they dying by the thousands and they don't know Christ. They're not coming to life. They're going to stay dead. Because that's not we don't have that next resurrection yet. We have the first resurrection. Then we're going to have another one. It's going to come. And that's where everybody's going to stand before the judgment. Now we're going to have the Bema Seat judgment. That's why people get confused. They kind of merge the two. That's two separate judgments. When Christ returns, the Bema judgment has happened in kind. In kind. That's why the rewards are with him. He brings the rewards with him. So the Bema Seat judgment happens at that particular time. It's a quick thing. How it's going to be structured. All I know, it's going to happen. He's got his rewards. It's going to be something happened. There's this connection. We go out to meet. The groom don't come for the bride. And the bride stays in the chamber. It's ridiculous. That's not the structure of the scripture. The bride always leaves the chamber and goes to meet the groom coming. They meet. at a meeting place. So do they go back to where the groom's house was? No. No, no, no. Because he's already left his house. And he all of a sudden the sound of the trumpet happens. The bride does. He's there. He goes out to meet him. They meet there. And then there's an exchange. There's beam of seat. Then they got great white throne judgment. The rest of the dead did not come to life until the 1,000 years are complete. This is the first resurrection. First resurrection. How many want to be in that one? If you're dead, you definitely want to be in that one. If you're alive, you want to be in that one. Blessed and holy is the one who has a part in the first resurrection. Over these, the second death had no power. Over these, the what? The second death had no power. You will not be able to die by any scheme or lie of the devil. So he does get released, right? So the 1,000 years is up. Guess who gets released? Big old prison gets unlocked, and guess who comes out? And he is spitting mad. Blowing smoke and fire. I mean, he is mad as can be because his child, his Antichrist, the son of Satan, is dead. And his false scheming prophet that he over all the time since Christ ascended to the Father, that scheming, plotting, delusional false prophet that has deluded the multitudes in churches all over is dead. What is he going to do? I'm just telling you, he gets released. But we don't have to worry about him because that doesn't have no power over us. But they will be a priest of God and of Christ and will reign with him for 1,000 years. I mean, thank God for that. All right, last one. Revelation 22, verse 5. And there will no longer be any night. There will no longer be any night. And they will not have need of the light of a lamp. Nor the light of the sun. Because the Lord God, that's the Most High, the Lord God will illuminate. He will be a luminous. He will them and they will reign forever and ever. Let me see that now. That's not the 1,000-year reign. That's the reign forever and ever reign. With the Lord God, the Lord Almighty. How amazing is that? Now, I could take you to Corinthians, and it kind of gives us a good summation of this, everything I just read. Because the one who was given authority, who was given authority? Yeshua HaMashiach. That authority was given to him to go and set my people free. So that means go set them free. Take them out of there. Take them out of the grave and out of the mortality. Take them out of mortality. They paid the price. I am satisfied by them following you as their Savior. The change happens. We cannot die. The enemy can come against you. They can shoot you with a gun. It won't hurt you. Run over you with a truck. You'll get up. Maybe the truck won't even be able to find you when it gets to you. I don't know. It's going to be, you're going to be fast. Did you see me go around in church? That's going to be incredible what we'll be able to do. Isn't that something? So, all of that has happened. In Corinthians, it talks about the one who was given authority, Jesus, was given the authority. He's going to then give the authority that he was given back to the one who gave it. Isn't that amazing? That's why 22 says the Lord God. Yahweh is going to come. There'll be no need. No more night. How can there be night when the Lord God is here? Think about that. No more need for the lamp to light anything. And no need for the sun. Whoa. Isn't that amazing? So is there going to be a structural change to the firmament? Is it going to change? I think there's going to be a lot of change because there's going to be an all-out war and assault that goes on in that time that Satan gets released. It's going to be that's a quick thing too. That's not some long period of time. It's something that's going to be happen quick. Deceive the nations again kind of blows my mind because I'm like, really? That's why I want to just follow Yeshua HaMashiach now and not be caught up in that craziness. Because that is crazy. How can you be with Christ for 1,000 years on this planet with him being in charge? We don't have Democrats, Republicans, and all that stuff. That's all over with. He's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And there's going to be resistance. Do you know there's going to be resistance against him? But there were going to be a lot of people. I don't know how. It's going to be crazy. It's going to be fair. He's going to make people work. They're going to come and say, we don't have no tomatoes. We want you to give us tomatoes. He's going to give them a hoe and some seed. You want tomatoes? Go plant you some tomatoes. Ain't going to be no government handouts under Jesus. You know why? It breeds irresponsibility. People need to work. I went to my mailbox and my check quit coming. You know what he's going to say? Go to work. He's going to tell them. And they're going to be able to do it. And the ground is going to be, he's going to start bringing, and everything's going to come back. The grass is going to be greener. The water's going to be cleaner. Do you understand? He's going to end all the corruption. Yes. Everything's going to start. It's going to be like the Garden of Eden. It's going to be amazing. People's going to have access to be able to food, but they're going to have to actually get up and walk. Like he's going to say, go ahead, there you go, put that one out. Now the other one. Some people, they can't even walk unless somebody tell them. Show them how to do it. Do you see? That's the government. In society that the Antichrist wants to operate in, because you can control the masses that way. You can dumb the people down where they're so dumb they'll believe anything you tell them. I don't even want to start on that because I'll keep you here the rest of the night. But we won't be submitting to that. Why? We submit to the Lord. All right, I know you got all your questions lined up. Anybody? When you read the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God, that's synonymous. Those synonyms are exactly the same. So we see it in the text because when he talks about the parables, Matthew will say heaven, kingdom of heaven, and then Luke will say kingdom of God, and it's the same parable. Like they're identical. So some will take that and twist that. They'll put a spin on the kingdom of heaven and say, well, the kingdom for the believers in Christ are going to be in the kingdom of heaven, which is heaven. And those rest will be in the kingdom of God, which will be on earth. And there's a whole group of people who follow that systematic. But it's crazy. I mean, just read, if you read the text, you'll see they mean exactly the same. It just was a way to say it. Bread from where? The bread of heaven. Right? The bread of heaven. What if I say the bread of God? Or the bread from God? I mean the same thing. It means the same exact thing. So that's the same thing. It's a word that was used to indicate where it was from or who it belonged to. So heaven is one of those words that indicates if it comes from heaven, every good and perfect gift coming from above. Right? Above. Who's in charge of what's above? Who sits on the firmament? Where's the throne? The throne's on the firmament. He controls everything in that realm, and he gave control, authority to everything that was under the firmament. To Adam. Adam forfeited that authority, was passed on, and Satan became the god of this world. That's what Jesus describes him as. The God of this world. Paul talks about it. I think it's Corinthians 4:4. He does the same thing. We have to. And we know that through the temptation Jesus was taken to show all the kingdoms of the world and stuff. But those two terms, that's why that there's a great, and I can show you, I can pull articles and messages of preachers still today who adamantly preach the kingdom of heaven is a different place and a different time, a different group of people going there than the people of the kingdom of God. That, to me, I don't know how you get that, because if you read the synoptics, that's blown completely out the water. It just doesn't make sense to even come up with that. But it's, I remember the first book, I was just starting to pastor, was in that old building, and it had a little office on its side in the back, and I had this green book. I don't even know where I got the book from, but it was a commentary on different parts of the scripture. It was a little green book. And I was flipping through that and just highlighting and underlining some stuff, and I came across this. Kingdom of heaven and kingdom of God being two different things. And I'm looking at it, I'm reading like, and I didn't know anything about it then. I mean, I'm as new in it, you know, I'm just learning, I'm trying to learn, I'm just starting to pastor. And so I was like, wow, for some reason it just don't make sense. Why would it be? And so I started reading the identical, so I had two Bibles, I got me two Bibles, right? So I opened the Bible up to Matthew, because that's where you're going to find the kingdom of heaven. But you know, there's a couple places in Matthew uses the kingdom of God. There's a couple of places you'll see who you say the kingdom of God. But then I put the parallels together, put my Bibles together, and started going, okay, that don't make sense. Suffer the little children to come to me, for such is the kingdom of God. Suffer the little children to come to me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. Okay. The only difference we have is the heaven and the God. So I'm trying to gather all the information I can outside of having no internet, right? That's a change, a big change, right? I didn't go, oh, let me Google that. So I looked around in my office, and there were no more books. So you're kind of handicapped. What's this going on here? What's this going on? Why this guy's here? This is a smart guy. He's got a book. I don't have no books. And he's saying that the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God is two different things in two different places. I was confused. Because now I'm thinking about it. But right at first, I didn't think that. Why would I think that? So I read every one of them that matched exactly from the synoptics. And I began to just pursue it to try to find out. And I found that it was a favorable thing to a big organization to split it to two different things. A large organization, I'm talking about Pentecost organization, which we were very familiar with. That brought more confusion. And as I kept going and kept going and been studying, you find out, okay, guys, you don't have to have no PhD. This is like elementary stuff. This stuff, it's a synonym. You've got to grab hold of this simple stuff. Don't make it harder than it is. And that's where, once I come across that, then I knew that this is the same. The same thing. If I'm speaking of the kingdom of heaven or speaking of the kingdom of God, I mean the exact same thing. So that's, but still today, I can pull it up, and for sake of not mentioning the names, I can show you on the screen messages that are still being preached that's a completely different place. But hey, the people who do it, they kind of spin it with the Aramaic. They said, well, you know, Matthew was a different guy. And Matthew, he used Matthew because Matthew was, you know, he could have an Aramaic type. And so he knew that Jesus was really trying to use him to say something different. And if that's the case, then we're going to have to take all the verses, every one of them, and take what he says in a different way because of his Aramaic background. Serious? And so you go online, it's still confused today. Now you can Google and see the confusion. You can Google it. So people still preach that. And some of it, you read it and you look at it and they try to make some good points. But it makes no sense. You try to reconcile it at the end and you say, okay, where are they going? What they're doing? Were they with Jesus? Well, how are they with Jesus? Oh, now, oh, wait, we got a kingdom of heaven Jesus and a kingdom of God Jesus. That's what you're saying. No, 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 no. There's one Jesus. Well, he ain't going to be there. See, and they get this falls apart. So that's again. But it was preached a lot. That was preached early on, a lot, especially after the charismatic movement. But before then, that was some stuff that really took off because it matched. It could fit in their preacher of rapture thing. Have a third coming and all that stuff. And it just and once nonsense starts, guess what? It just keeps going. It's like a spread. Nonsense. It just keeps bigger and bigger nonsense and more nonsense until it gets so bad you go, wow, them people are confused. I'm confused. I'm just going to go back doing what I was doing because we ain't making no headway. And that's what happens with those. And that's because you're taking the simplicity of the word. Simplicity. Who would be able to read two people's account of an event? You was given a task. I'm going to give you a task. This person gives his account what he saw. This person gives his account on what he saw. And they're going to write this. You're going to take that information. You say, yeah, it was their person. And a kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God, I don't see no big deal with that. You know, they both relating to, they end up in the same spot. And you're going to take the scope of their story. Then you're going to walk away with some understanding. But the moment you stop to try to start fooling around and playing word games with words, that's when you run into all sorts of problems. And that's what's happened over the years. So we're trying to figure out if it's where we're going to be in the heaven, the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. And folks are not getting the message of the kingdom at all. So, in Matthew, how many read in Matthew 6? But seek ye first the kingdom of what? Oh, that's Matthew? See my point? Sister Jerry.
Okay, Christian,
there'll be Christians beheaded too. It could be both ways. They might be take you and her. But they're mostly going to be after the Christians. Because he said, blessed are those who are beheaded for a reason. There's a purpose they stand in to give up their life for the what? The truth about the kingdom. They love not their life unto death. Oh, it bothers me. It bothers me. But there's going to be, there's something, because you think about the men who come before us, the martyrs. Yeah. They had to be something that kicked in.
That's it.
That the Most High,
yeah,
at that moment, he had to come in and undergird, mm-hmm, to give them a piece. Because, I mean, how is it normal? Let me tell you. I was reading a story about a 13-year-old girl from China. 13. I think about this all the time. Sometimes it just comes to me. I can be busy or just trying to be, and I think about a 13-year-old girl in China. This is communist China, when the red curtain was up. They were definitely against Christianity. There was no Christianity. What are you talking about? Mm-hmm. And they killed them. Listen, not 100, not 200, not 100,000, mm-hmm, but they killed millions of people for Christ. This is in our lifetime. We're talking about the red curtain in China. This is not something that's going to happen. There's going to be stuff, and it's going to be worse than that. That's what it says. But there had to be a peace that came over this girl when they put her in, basically, I don't know, just kind of a tomb type thing. They built, just put rock, just, you know, start locking it in. Mm-hmm. And basically going to be buried alive. But the only thing you got to do is renounce the Christian stuff. and we're going to let you out. What kind of peace comes over a 13-year-old? Think about that. That she'd let him put the last brick because she ain't giving up Jesus. Yet we give up for nothing sometimes. She loved the Lord and she didn't have near the teaching y'all got. That's the facts. They had little pieces of scripture floating around. If they got them a chapter, torn off a Bible, they held on to it like it was their life. They read it day in and day out, and it meant something to them. They believed in Yeshua HaMashiach so much, they didn't care. What makes a man stand on a table? They took this man, he was preaching, got caught preaching in an underground church. They stood him on a table, and his wife and his kids were in front of him. And they said, you want to go home with them? And she's crying. Wife's crying. The kids are crying. They're holding on to the prison bars. You want to go home with them? You got to renounce this Jesus, this Christian stuff. Got a rope around his neck. Wife and kids watching. Standing on the table. Look. You can go. Get down off the table. No more prison time. We're not going to beat you no more. Just, there they are. You can go. The tears coming down his face. And he's looking at a wife that he loves, kids that he hadn't hugged in many nights because he'd been in prison, being starving, beaten every day. He was crippled by the beatings. He could barely stand up. And here's his way out. This is his day that he gets to go home and hug that wife that he loves, that he had two beautiful children with. And you know what he said? I can't do it. I'm trying to figure what type of peace comes over a man at that moment. I believe that's the same peace going to come over anybody. That if they're going to have to see that, it's all of a sudden going to be a peace and a calm come over you. And you're going to literally say it's finished. And they kicked that table from that guy. And they hung that man in front of his wife and his two kids. Until the life, his leg shaking, until all the life come out of him. And they witnessed that. And he knew they was going to see it. Any man would have said, I can't make my wife and all see this. God, I'm sorry. But he didn't do that. You know what he said? I may be crazy, but I know one thing. I know what I read, and I believe it so much, that the next thing I'm going to see is my Savior and that wife and kids, because he believed that what he just left them, the legacy he... You don't think she must have left from there and said, I knew I married the right man. And you don't think them kids grew up and said, my daddy. They want to talk about their daddy. You want to talk about daddy? Sit down and let me tell you about my daddy. My daddy, he stood there and held up Christ to the within an inch of his life. And at the end, he said, I'm going to go with God. That's my daddy. That's his story. Them kids grew up proud to have that father. So you know what he was going to see? His Savior and his family. Guaranteed. Nobody goes through that. God won't keep his family. He says it's a promise. So he went with God. So listen, it's going to be a terrible time, but you're going to have something come over you. I read too many stories where it happens. It's going to come over you. You know, they surveyed us. They took him. This is John Calvin. Now, this ain't the Russian, no, Chinese communist. This is his brother in Christ, John Calvin, the Calvinist movement. Servetus was preaching that there's no incarnation, that Jesus existed from the womb of Mary. Servetus is telling them that this whole Trinity, this would just be off if it has. He said, all this Trinity stuff. He said, listen, the Bible says, the scripture says. This was a smart guy. This guy was the first development as a doctor for the pulmonologist. He knew study of lungs. At his day, that's incredible. This guy was brilliant, a brilliant man. And he studied the scripture. I mean, he knew the study of the lungs. Pulmonology is the study of the lungs. This was a brilliant guy, yet he loved the Lord. You know what John said? You don't deserve to be alive. So they took him and tied him to a post. Instead of just setting him on fire and burning him right away, they roasted him. They roasted him a little bit. Then they turned him and burned him on this side a little bit. Right when they felt like he was going to just pass out from the heat, they put him up. Let him kind of gain his composure again, then they burned him some more. Keep doing that. Done that all day. Just burn him a little bit at a time. That was his brother in Christ who did that. So let me tell you, this stuff been going on for a long time. You know what he's telling him? All you got to do, Servetus, all you got to do is quit saying what you're saying. Quit believing what you're believing, and we'll let you go. I want to ask you, who was the Christian? The guy who burned the other guy, or the one who wouldn't give up his belief in the Lord Jesus Christ, who wasn't burning nobody? Think about that. See, the Bible, oh, they were a Christian, you know, the Calvin movement. I mean, this is a big movement. Calvinists is a big movement. But I want to tell you, I have a hard time believing that's Christian-like when you burn your brother. That's, and if you see that movement of what we're teaching, those are the ones that are humbling themselves. They're peaceful. They don't want to argue the point. But they're getting bashed with arguments and all kind of hate mail, you name it. But I want to tell you, don't fear this. There's going to be the peace of God that passes all understanding is going to come on you. And you'll see it. And you'll know that your family's going to be saved. Your daughters are going to be saved. Your sons will be saved. The husband, the wife, they'll all be saved. Because God's going to give you supernatural protection during that time. But there'll be many who lose their life. They love not their life unto death for the gospel's sake. What an honor that would be. What an honor. It's going to be tough. But we're going to have a strong support in God like we've not seen right now. It's hard to explain what's going to come over people. You can read stories about it where it's happened to many people, and I believe it'll happen to other people. It's going to be incredible. So, don't fear it. Don't be troubled by it, even though you should be concerned about it. Definitely concerned. Because that's what keeps us praying. That's what keeps us studying. That's what gives us the information to tell our own people this stuff's real. Take some time, read it for yourself. But also I believe you're going to have supernatural protection for those who he's going to use to spread the gospel. You're going to have a lot of people being able to spread the gospel. There are going to be some people supernaturally protected. I read stories where people, they got up just like Peter when the angel come and picked him up and said, okay, let's go. Chains fell off, doors opened when they passed. That's happened to people in modern times. In modern times, people got up. The Spirit of the Lord came to them. They was in prison where they just broke their legs the day before. They were crawling around, scooting themselves on the belly, trying to go to the bathroom, which was in a corner, with 25 other prisoners with no facilities. You couldn't sit, so you had to lay over, and you had to defecate in a laying position because your two legs were broke for the gospel. Remember that. Not for murder, not for rape, just because you love Jesus. All of a sudden, that night, an angel come to him. Said, get up. He got up, his legs went straight. He said, follow me. And he just went, and he said, follow him. The next thing, he didn't see nothing. Didn't see no angel. He's like, oh, no, I'm by myself. But he's outside the prison. The door's closed. So he started walking. Plain daytime with all of the prisoners, guards there. He got to one door. He passed it. Got to the next door. He passed it. Got to the main door going out the building. There was a crowd of people coming in. He just kept walking. And he got to them. They separated. He went straight out the door and went to a neighbor's house. And they brought him to his family's house. God set him free from the prison. Let me tell you, that's power. And that's what's going to happen during that time. We're going to have supernatural access to power beyond. That's why we ought to love the Lord with everything that's in us. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll be with you until the end. Some people's end comes like days like today. Not everybody made it through today. There were some people around the world that died today. but they love the Lord. That was their end, but they're going to come again. There's some people who's going to make it into that time period. And whatever happens, he's going to be with you till the end. He'll be there. Faithful, faithful, faithful. That's incredible. So, listen. Keep studying the scripture. Keep reading. Keep asking questions. Be encouraged, because this is a great time to be alive and be encouraged in the Lord. And watch the hand of God. And call your family. Call your children. Call your neighbors and tell them it's never been a better time to talk to people. I had some incredible conversations today. May I just incredible. I was able to just share the word of God for several hours today. And people was intrigued by it. Sit down. We need to do it. We need to talk more. And that's what you do. You just keep sharing the kingdom of the Lord. It's been great. Well, thank you so much. I know we went way past what we usually do, but that's what happens when you start talking about the Lord. Well, God bless you. I love you. And Saturday night tour portion, don't forget. And then start preparing your hearts for Passover's coming. We're going to keep announcing it pretty heavy. That's coming up. I was going over that all the scripture today. I just put the audio on and I was just listening to all the scripture for Passover. And it's like, wow. I done been over that how many times, but every time I go, wow. He was taken on the 10th. He went in Jerusalem on the 10th, taken on the 14th. I was going over all. It was incredible. I love the Lord. And he loves us. And so get ready for that. Start preparing your hearts for Passover. That's coming. It's going to be a great time. Invite your neighbors to come. They've never seen it before. It's a great conversation piece, you know. I mean, I promise you that at least several of you in this building is going to be asked this question here coming soon. What y'all doing for Easter? I promise you. You're going to get asked that question. It's a great time to share. Great time to share. Okay? Well, God bless you. We'll see you on the whole portion. And then Sunday, we're going to continue in the kingdom.